He's the columnist for the Register Guard on days like today. Find his work on the cover of the sports section. Turns out he's guiding football policy behind the scenes. Seriously, catch up online. Visit registerguard.com. Follow on Twitter. Use the handle at AustinMeekRG. Austin, a fine Tuesday to you. How's it going?
Hey, Steve, I'm good. Yeah, it's kind of weird, you know. As a columnist, you get used to just shouting these opinions out into the void and assuming that nobody pays attention to them. So when somebody actually takes my advice, it's kind of a weird feeling.
The advisory committee you'll be sitting on is going to be legendary as this program moves forward. So after Saturday, the head coach stood by his quarterback. Even Justin Herbert said he's all in on Dakota Prukop, the guy, learning from him. So let's start there. I'm always tentative to criticize college players for their play, but something seemed to be lacking, whether he's not elusive in the pocket, not making big plays. What did you notice that kind of opened the door to you thinking it's time for a change?
Well, I thought Dakota Prukop played really well against Virginia. I was really impressed with him after two games, but then the last three games, I feel like he's regressed a little bit each game, and I thought Washington State was his worst game of the season. He looks a little bit indecisive in the pocket. He looks like a guy who, at the FCS level, was able to run away from a lot of guys with his speed, and at this level, there's guys who are as fast as he is, and he's not able to make some of those plays with his legs. And he just hasn't been totally on the money with a lot of his throws. There have been several occasions where he's had guys open down the field and just hasn't been able to deliver the football. So all those factors together, I think, at least opened the door for Oregon to look at some other options at quarterback.
Now, what you said in your column is, first, I thought it was important, let's not be blaming Dakota Prukop for what ails this team. But in this offense, obviously, the quarterback is magnified. I think it ties into putting extra pressure on the defense. And obviously, we've seen minimal action from Herbert. So if you had to kind of do a thesis on why the quarterback change now, which you felt for a full 72 hours, what would be the primary reasons?
Well, yeah, and, you know, to be clear, when I wrote that, I didn't think there was any chance that they would start Justin Herbert against the Huskies. So, you know, I wasn't predicting that by any means. I thought it was time for them to find out what they had with Justin Herbert. You know, I felt like they were at a point in the season where it was pretty clear that what they were doing was not working. So why not evaluate another option? You know, it's not that quarterback was their biggest problem, or even one of their top five biggest problems, but it was a position where they had another alternative that they could look at. And I just think it's time for them to figure out what they have with Justin Herbert. You know, whether that means starting him or bringing him in, you know, after a couple series or some kind of quarterback rotation, I don't know exactly how it shakes out, but the future clearly is Justin Herbert. And, you know, the other side of this is, look, Mark Helfrich is not in the most secure position right now. And a lot of this season is going to be, you know, can he show something to create confidence that next year is going to be better, that they're on the right path, that they're going to be able to get this thing turned back the other direction. And one of the ways to do that is to show that you have a young quarterback who's capable of leading the program and that people can be excited about. So I don't see a big downside for Oregon in figuring out what they have with Herbert right now.
Now, that's actually turns out to be a great segue comment, because I said this after last season. For the crowd who are not satisfied right now with the head coach, well, the defense was awful. He brought in a new coordinator. He hired a quarterback guy, David Yost, who had a great reputation because there was frustration about developing quarterbacks. Now, after five games, he might be going to the bullpen at the most important position. So if you're going to be critical, and I'm talking you in general, not you specifically, can we at least give Helfrich credit for just not standing pat and trying to spark his team because there's a lot of season left?
Well, I do give him credit for being flexible and being willing to adjust. Now, it's one thing to to make a change and to try something different. And it's another thing to actually find a solution. You know, so far Oregon has made quite a few changes, and they have yet to really find the solutions. Now, maybe the solution is Justin Herbert. Maybe he comes out this week and beats the Huskies in his first start and, you know, immediately achieves immortality in the mind of the Oregon fan base. But, you know, it's sort of a fine line because, you know, on one hand, yeah, it's good to be able to be flexible and to adjust on the fly and to admit when things aren't going well. But on the other side of that, you can also get to a point where it looks like you're grasping at straws and just trying something different, you know, because what you're doing isn't working. So at some point, they need to find some solutions behind the changes that they're making.
Interesting take. From minute one, when they implemented the hurry up here, we learned there's a connection with the defense. I mean, they're already under pressure, more snaps. They need more depth. Now you throw in a new scheme. So certainly the defense has looked shaky. But I don't care if it's Baylor or Arizona, obviously Oregon. If you run this style and the offense is off the field quickly and consistently, don't you see what we're seeing? The defense is just going to flat run out of gas.
Yeah, it's. I think what we're seeing is it's a pretty delicate formula, and it's worked for Oregon. I mean, for the better part of 10 years, it's worked for Oregon, but if you get a little bit out of balance, then the whole thing can fall apart. And I think that's part of what we've seen this year is the offense has been pretty good. It's not like the offense, you know, has been bad or that they haven't scored points, but they just haven't been quite as good as they've been in years past. So then if the offense isn't quite as good, then that's a little bit more pressure on the defense. And then if the defense isn't quite as good and has more pressure on them than they had before, then, you know, it's just this really bad cycle where the wheels start to come off. And, you know, going back to the quarterback thing, I think that's why Oregon is right to at least look for a spark somewhere else, because I'm pretty confident after watching five games with Dakota Prukop and saying he's a pretty good quarterback and would be a serviceable quarterback for a lot of teams. But with Oregon and what Oregon demands from its offense, what Oregon needs to do offensively to overcome its defense, they need more from their quarterback than what they've gotten.
All right. Obviously, it's Washington week. If there was a confirmation, somebody actually asked me to ask you this. I don't usually do that, but I'm a little lazy. I figure let somebody else do my job. So the Huskies, I mean, this is their best team in 16 years, killer defense. Is there any logic to, if you want the freshmen in there, maybe not throw them against those guys, take this week, then a bye, and then start the week after Cal? Or what the hell, the season's still alive, why wait?
I mean, if it was me, if I'm the head coach and I'm making all the decisions, I probably would not start Justin Herbert this week. I would definitely have him involved. I'd have him in the game plan. And if Oregon got behind, I'd have a very quick trigger to bring him in the game. But I don't think I would start him for those reasons that you just laid out. You're looking at the best defense in the conference, a defensive line that's absolutely fearsome, and a young offensive line for Oregon. I do think there's some risk here throwing a true freshman out there for his first start against a team like Washington. So it's definitely a gamble. I'll give Oregon credit if they actually go through with it. They are taking a big gamble, but there's some risk there.
Let's move along with Austin Meek of the Register Guard. So I read this headline today, Pac-12 rooting for Washington, and the fan in me was like, well, I'm not. I root for the Red Sox first. But to your point, we've seen the Big 12 react to being left out of the playoff, but from what Commissioner Larry Scott said to the actual facts, how important is it the league not be left out for a second straight season?
Yeah, this is where the playoff era has made for some kind of strange bedfellows, because the Pac-12 is in the position of rooting for Washington, even the schools like Oregon, you know, who would sooner roll over in their graves than root for Washington. There is some advantage to the Huskies being able to get in the playoff, because right now it's basically all the Pac-12 has. There's not another team out there right now you look at from the Pac-12 and say, well, that team's got a good shot to get in the playoffs. It's basically all in with the Huskies. So, and then, you know, to add another layer of irony to that, you know, Rob Mullins is now on the playoff committee, so it could be Oregon's AD who's in the position of advocating for the Huskies. But somebody's got to do it, and for the Pac-12 to, you know, be viewed as a top-flight conference on par with the SEC and the Big Ten, they need to be putting a team in the playoff most years. And if they get left out 2 years in a row, that is going to be a blow to the Pac-12's reputation around the country.
No question. Let's close with something near and dear to both of us. The MLB playoffs start in a couple hours. After two great runs, your Royals are out. I'm kind of just about the postseason itself. I mean, I remember the first thing I watched, the 1968 World Series. You got new faces, the Red Sox back, Cleveland, the Giants back. Do you, at this time of year, if the Royals are out, well, obviously you had a lot of practice until 2014. Do you generate a rooting interest, or do you have an inkling who you think might win, or do you just kind of sit back and say, hey, I'm a baseball fan, this is awesome?
You know, for a lot of years, I got used to not having a team in the playoffs, as you mentioned. So by this time of the year, I was sort of on to college football. The past 2 years, it's actually been, you know, a big adjustment for me to be paying really close attention to the baseball playoffs while the college football season is going on. I think there will be some residual interest for me in the baseball playoffs after the last couple of years, even though the Royals aren't in it. It's kind of a bummer for me. But I'll definitely be watching. I don't know if I'll be rooting for anybody in particular. I guess I'd kind of like to see the Cubs end their drought. But I'm not going to be on pins and needles about it.
So it'll be a quick recovery if the Cubbies get knocked out for you?
I will not be in mourning. I know some people who will be, who have much more invested in that than I do.
Awesome. Hey, good stuff as always, Austin. Always appreciate your time and input. And we'll talk face-to-face on Saturday.
Okay. Sounds good, Steve. We'll see you then.
All right. Take it easy.